We hear a lot about why it is so important to diversify our savings and investments. And I'll be honest with you, there is so much I'm still learning. Recently, I was introduced to the opportunity of investing in precious metals, including gold. Through American Independence Gold, you can invest at some of the lowest rates in the industry. They offer IRA storage, or you can choose to keep the gold yourself. Plus, account fees are covered for a lifetime. I also love that American Independence Gold has a buyback commitment. This gives you confidence that your investment is liquid if you need the funds for whatever reason. This faith-driven, veteran-owned organization with more than 20 years' experience in helping people protect and grow their investments is offering a 5-gram gold bar with qualified purchases. What does it hurt to learn more? Just visit momslovegold.com and you will be connected to a client relations expert. They can offer top-notch service and expert advice. Ashley Cook is a female country artist whose star is rising fast. Well, finally, what a lot of country fans don't know about Ashley is that she has been performing since the age of 11, and many of those years were spent on stage with her sister Jen, who is now an actress. I loved this conversation with her mom, Beth. We've both been on this journey since our kids were so young, helping them chase down a dream. You'll recognize Ashley's hits, Never Till Now, It's Been a Year, and her first number one on country radio, Your Place. We recorded this interview just before she got that number one, but as you'll hear, we knew it was coming. All right, well, let's dig in. We're going to go way back. I want to know about Ashley as a little girl. What was her personality like?
Oh, my goodness. She was bubbly. She had these big cheeks. It's funny. And a giggle. And just, she was just second born. So okay. I don't know if we've always attributed to that. She just always was seeking fun, adventure.
She comes across as somewhat fearless.
She is. She was the tomboy for sure. She was not afraid to, except for jumping into a swimming pool. That was the thing. That took her a minute. She would go, she would go close to the edge of the pool and she'd go back. And she would go close to the pool like she's going to jump in. And it was funny. It was on a vacation one time when she kept doing that. And she just wouldn't go in and jump in. My husband was standing at the side and he couldn't help it anymore. He just pushed her.
She knew how to swim.
She did. Well, and it was very shallow. And I was in there saying, come on.
Okay, yeah.
And so he pushed it, but she was mad at him for the rest of that vacation. But
that's funny.
But for the most part, no, she's very adventurous and really willing to just try all kinds of things.
Yeah, so. You bring up the tomboy thing. I've seen an article or some people like mention about her. Like she's like a good hang. You know, she can hang with the guys. She can hang with the girls. Yeah. Like she really, and I think that's one thing about like her appeal and her music and everything is, you know, sometimes girls get into a category of girls are going to listen to them, you know? And
right.
So, of course, guys want girls to listen to them.
I know, absolutely.
But I feel like she's got a really broad audience in her appeal because she can relate kind of to both.
She does. And she tries, I think, intentionally for her music to not be just sappy love songs or hating on boys or it all being about a girl's perspective. She loves to have the songs because she loved bro country all growing up, you know.
She's proud to admit she loved bro country.
Yep, she is. And so she wanted to create music, I think, that relates to just anybody.
Yeah.
And so I think that comes across in the music. But also just her two best friends in high school were guys.
Oh, really?
And she would go to truck meets with them. That's when she fell in love with the Jeeps. And, you know, I don't know how that all happened because that wasn't me at all. But she just, she went fishing with them. She, you know, that's kind of her style. But then she also loves to get dressed up and have a good time with the girls when she was in a sorority. And so
she loves the glam part of it too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I love that. Okay, so she's a spunky little girl. Mm-hmm. And you actually, if people don't know, have two very creative daughters.
Yes.
Ashley's your second born. Your first is Jen.
Jen.
And I feel like I've had the opportunity to meet Jen a couple of times because she's on the road with her a lot.
A lot.
Is that just for fun or they're
very
intentionally
close.
Travel together?
Well, they're just very close. Being only a year and a half apart in age, you know that with the boys too.
Yeah. Yeah.
They, a lot of crossover of what they had interest in growing up. And so they did a lot together. They sang together for a while. They did all kinds of things together. They went to college together. They were roommates while they both were in college. And God knew I could only handle two. And thank God we also had girls because I don't know how. The boy experience is different.
Yeah, it is different.
Yeah.
But it's funny because being a girl, a boy mom, I think all the time, like, I don't know what I would have done with a girl.
I'm sure.
Like,
yeah. We both have that perspective.
I just feel like it's what I know, you know? And even when I had Cooper, I had so much fun
fun with him. I hoped the second one was a boy because I was just like, this is what I know.
Yes.
And hopefully I do it pretty well.
I felt too that they would be closer because they might have the similar interests, which is what ended up happening.
Yeah. Isn't it so fun when she's on the road with them? Because one of my favorite things about the fact that my boys' talents complement each other so much that Cooper's on the road with Connor most of the time. Mm-hmm. And so when we go, we're all together.
Absolutely.
And it's one of my favorite things about being on the road.
Just a close family, same thing. It's like we're doing life the same way. And
yeah,
I love that.
It's so true. And I love that we're kind of at the same state of a lot of things. I mean, Connor doesn't have 2 number 1 songs on the highway, but
not yet. It's
not
coming.
Yet.
That's
not
for
yet.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But with Jen traveling with her, when she made her first, got on a big tour, Cole Swindell was just the first one to really bet on her. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Jen and I were at a point, it was just after 2020, so we hadn't quite gotten back into other things going on. And so she and I were determined to just follow her. And so we did. We didn't have the RV, so we didn't get to do what you did with go to all of the shows. But we did go to quite a few of them. And as time's gone on, we've both gotten busy. But Jen just loves to get out there and support her sister.
It's kind of interesting because in the beginning, I was just like, oh, I can't miss that. I can't miss this.
Yes.
But I honestly kind of prayed about, like, okay, Lord, could we make this not so much FOMO for me? Like, I need to be able to be like, oh, I'm not going to that one. I'm just going to this one or whatever. And it's happening a little bit with
when there's so many.
Yeah, there's so many opportunities and cool things that they're doing. But I'm just like, okay, I have to realize I can't be at everything. That's not realistic.
Agreed.
So getting better about picking and choosing. And
it is hard. And that's what we weren't sure about even going to the CMTs because, you know, we knew that we weren't going to be able to sit with her. We didn't know how much we'd spend time with her, but there was just no way at the end that I could miss it.
Yeah.
But
yeah. We call those the mountaintop moments that you don't want to miss those,
no.
You know? And aren't you so glad just to have been in the building when they called her name?
Oh, it was surreal. We had watched, you know, as I'm sure you too, the CMT Awards and all the award shows for many years. And it was really neat to see the production because we had never been to the show to actually watch the production of it. And the producer would come over the overhead speaker of, okay, everybody quiet on the set. But it was basically like being on a live set. But to sit there and actually have them come out and introduce the artist and then to call her name, it was just a neat moment. And as it turned out, our seats were only, we were in the general section, but we were only maybe 6-7 rows up from where Ashley and Jen were sitting down.
Oh, that's perfect.
In the artist
area. You could
area.
See them.
It felt like it was a family moment then.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, Jen bawled her eyes out, as she does with some of the moments, just in such pride. And
that's
Ashley
so
called her
sweet.
Out on it, and it made it on TV. So for then, the rest of that night, it was, oh, you're the crying sister.
Yeah, you're crying sister. Yeah, now she's got a nickname. That's great.
Yeah.
So let's go back to, where were the girls born? I know you guys have moved around a lot, as have we.
Yes, exactly. And it's a hard question sometimes to answer where you're from kind of thing. They were born in Wisconsin.
Okay.
And we lived there through about second grade. One was in first, one was in second. And then we moved to Northern California in a little town outside of San Francisco called Pleasanton.
Okay.
And then we lived in Southern California around LA for a while.
Okay.
And then we moved to Florida. And so a lot of times Ashley will say Florida is where she's from.
Yeah. I've also heard her say that it was actually kind of a cool part of her story that she's from all of these different parts of the country.
Yes.
Because she truly feels like she can identify with or relate to people because she truly lived in the north.
She has.
The west, the south. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
It kind of took the, and then after we were living in Florida, after 2020 for a couple of years, Dennis and I lived in Virginia too. So around DC. So we've pretty much gone the entire country.
Did.
And then now
yeah.
we're settled here in Nashville.
I think it's interesting you guys moved to the LA area for a little bit, and that's because you really had these two budding entertainers. At the time, though, it was really more Jen, right?
I love hearing from those of you who have tried and love the Coat Defense Daily Preventative Powder that we use on Tucker, our golden retriever. There is nothing like this product in the stores, and let me tell you, it works. It truly is a game changer when it comes to keeping his coat clean and fresh. This powder acts as a dry shampoo on Tucker, and it repels dirt and eliminates odor. He stays cleaner and fresher, and I'm a happier dog mom thanks to Coat Defense. Try it out and let me know what you think. You can visit coatdefense.com and receive 15% off your purchase with the code MAMA15.
It was. We were living in Northern California for my husband's job.
Okay.
But Jen had caught the bug of acting when she was real little, even back in Wisconsin. She won a acting competition when I think she was 8 or 9 years old that flew her to LA for a conference in acting. And she just really always had a passion for it, even from then. So she kept wanting, even though we were doing the normal things in Northern California, going to school and having normal activities, she kept wanting to get back into it. So mm-hmm. we were able to get some people down in LA that were interested in having her audition. And that's what, and we started to get a lot of auditions, and it was taking her out of school so much that we were getting truancy letters. And even though the teachers were fine with it, because they got all the homework and she was getting her grades. But so we decided at that point to give it a shot, and we rented a place down in LA. And so for a while it was tough on Dennis, my husband. He had to travel back and forth a lot. So
just more you and the girls.
It was
kind
me
of
and the girls
lived
yes,
there.
And okay. He was there every weekend. That was our family rules, that we were always together on the weekends. But we lived there so she could pursue the acting, and Ashley did some acting classes, but her passion really started to show when they did performance classes. It was a thing there to develop triple threat kids, so you could act, dance, and sing.
Okay.
And so Ashley wanted to join in on the performance part of it, and she just shined. She just had a blast performing, picking songs to sing, and that's where you could really see that's the start of how Ashley
was there a good voice there even at that age that you noticed, like maybe stood out from others?
It was definitely a good voice, but what really stood out was just how much fun she had. And it just, I don't know if it's that it factor you hear of that just radiates from the kid from the stage. And so the voice continued to develop over time, but it wasn't that so much. It was just more the overall, wow, she comes alive when she's on stage.
Yeah. What encouraged the songwriting? I think she said she wrote her first song at 11.
She did. And that we were there then at the time in LA. And it actually came from the coach in that class, the performance class. It actually started, I can blame Taylor Swift. the girls fell in love, obviously, as many did with her first album. And because we came from the Midwest and we raised our kids that way, there was just something a little different with our girls there in LA. And the voice coach sensed that and offered to her, hey, you know, I get it that you always every week want to pick a Taylor Swift song to sing, and you know, and but what is it about her? And they got to talking, and it was about the songs and the stories, and she just loved it. And he said, well, you know, I can help you write a song like that. And she's like, really? So he was the one that pulled her aside and sat down, and they started writing songs together, and it just picked. And he could play the guitar and she couldn't. And she knew in order to write, she would have to. So she literally went to YouTube and taught herself how to play guitar.
Really? So do you remember going and buying her one?
Yeah, we did. It was a Christmas time, and she got to have her first little one. It was very little. I don't even remember the brand. But being that I wasn't musical, we didn't know what to buy at the time.
Did that seem a little bit foreign for you? Because, I mean, you and your husband did not have these entertainment careers.
No.
They didn't grow up necessarily around that, right?
Not at all. We were just following their passions at that point. And when being kids, it was a blessing because we were able to be a part of it with them. And we never felt that we were losing control or that they were, you know, being influenced by the wrong people. Mm-hmm. It was just really a family affair. And so we just followed what they loved and educated ourselves along the way with what they needed to have in order to make it and keep progressing.
At what point did it kind of become like, oh, this music thing she's going to take seriously instead of, you know, a cute little girl who loves to perform and got a guitar and wants to be the next Taylor Swift? Like, what was the shift where you were like, okay, what do we do with this?
It kind of, you know, we let it all be driven by God. And it was always my prayer that God open the doors that you want us to walk through. And if there's one you don't want us to go through, hold it tight so that no matter how hard we try, hold that thing tight.
I said to somebody yesterday, that's the exact prayer I prayed through this whole journey.
Exactly.
Except I used the word, open the door we're supposed to walk through and slam the other one.
thinking of him on the other side holding
it
tight.
Yes, do that for us.
Yes, exactly. And so it really just was a way that you look back now and it's really fun to see how God, you know, was woven all the way through all these decisions. But through that act, performance coach who helped her write songs, he thought some of them were actually good enough to put little demos together. And he had a couple connections here in Nashville. And so he sent those over. We didn't really even know that. And sure enough, there was a guy here that was interested and thought, okay, this is kind of cool. Let's bring her in.
Did that just seem like the biggest deal at the time?
Oh, it was. I mean, the girls were ecstatic because it also, Jen was learning too how to ride. And it all, because they both were doing the same kind of things out there, even though one was more into acting and one was more in performing, they did this all together. And so, and that's how we always treated it. It was a family affair. And so they both were thrilled. And we came to Nashville. We had never been to Nashville before, Dennis or I.
How old were they at the time when you brought the girls?
11 and 12, I think.
Oh my goodness. So, so young.
So young. And we had dinner with this gentleman and his wife and excuse me. And he had been in the music industry. He was part of developing Curb Records here and starting that. And and he just saw something in the girls. And he said, you know, the one song that Ashley wrote called Indescribable back then was worth seeing about recording here on Music Row. So it was just a dream come true. He had her go into Curb Studios and they both sang together and they created a little single. And it was...
And at some point, they kind of formed a sister duo, right?
They were. They started... Here in Nashville, the gentleman that wanted to work with her said, you know, there's nothing like sibling harmonies. And so we should do this together. So they started out as Jenny and Ashley. And when they made the first song, Indescribable, that's how it was under, was Jenny and Ashley. And then as time went on, they picked a band name called The Lockets. And
oh my goodness.
Did that for a while. Yeah.
So were you coming back and forth to Nashville a little bit?
We did. And it actually around that time, it was just time to leave LA. And my husband at that point had gotten a job transfer to Southern Florida. So that's when we moved to Florida. And instead of going back and doing too much at LA, we started to just come up here in Nashville more. And more of the opportunities led up here. So we were going back and forth from Florida to Nashville.
When they were so young.
When
so
they were
young.
It's
been going on a while.
It has. And, you know, we the schooling was another thing because education is such a big thing in our
did
family.
Did you do it?
And I did some, but as much as I actually was good at math, I couldn't teach math. So we had to have a tutor for certain things. But we also, there were times and seasons when they wanted to go to the regular school so they could be social and meet people in the mm-hmm. areas. And Ashley actually wanted to play volleyball one season, and she did that. And so they, at different places where we moved, they spent typically a combination of at the real school and then also online school when we needed, when opportunities would come up that wouldn't allow them to continue on.
Mm-hmm. You would just kind of shift into that mode
where
you were the teacher.
Yes, exactly. Online school with being the teacher and a tutor when we needed it. So,
So what type of performance where did the Lockets perform?
So actually, they did a lot of little fairs and festivals around, and they actually did national anthems for some of the professional teams. So they did the Pittsburgh Steelers one time. They did. I'm trying to remember the other places. They did the Nashville Predators one time.
Oh, how fun.
So they got to do the anthems. And they did, there was a no bullying charity that they were performers for and really passionate about anti-bullying. Mm-hmm. So they did some charity stuff like that too.
That is really neat. So at that point, would you have thought that was the path they would be taking forward? Was the duo thing?
The duo. We mm-hmm. definitely did think it was going to be a sister duo. And they both loved doing it together. I would mm-hmm. say it was getting to be obvious though that Jen... We knew all along her passion was acting. Mm-hmm. So she loved the performing part of it, being on the stage. But she did, it wasn't her, I can't imagine her being on a tour bus right now and actually loving it. You know, Ashley just thrives on that. She loves adventure. She loves being with a group of people. Mm-hmm. And that's just not as much Jen's speed.
So. Was there conflict at all in, what's Ashley going to do if Jen steps back? Or did that kind of naturally just the path was an easy one?
There wasn't any conflict on that between the two of them. It actually happened naturally. We honestly ran into some snakes in the industry as unfortunately it's
so many
there.
People have that story.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that happened while they were in their teens, and it started to really take away both of their joy for doing this. And
wow.
So we stepped back, actually both of them together for a while so they could just enjoy their high school years. Mm-hmm. And as we dealt with the snakes and
I like the way you word it. Very, very politically correct there.
Yes, we had to do that. But it did kind of take away their excitement for the industry at that point, which again, blessing in disguise, because as hard of a period that was for especially Dennis and I, and the girls to also wonder whether then that was going to derail them.
Right.
It allowed them to go to college. And that was something from day one we didn't want to sacrifice on.
Okay, ladies, can we talk about the Barefaced Toning Pads? They are my very favorite product of the Barefaced skincare line. I use them morning and night to brighten and tighten my skin, unclog pores, and boost the effects of the other Barefaced products I use. These skin smoothing pads are packed with acids, antioxidants, and hydrating ingredients to tackle dullness, rough texture, and breakouts. A lot of my friends also purchase these for their teenagers who deal with breakouts. You can use our code MAMA15 at checkout and you will receive 15% off your first purchase of toning pads or any of the other results-driven medical-grade skincare products offered at barefaced.com. Was Belmont always the goal to be in Nashville and go to college, or not necessarily?
That became their goal when they wanted to still have the option to write music and to pursue it when the time would come. And at one point, they were talking about, well, maybe we just go up there and try it ourselves. And we're no. And so they realized if they were going to come to town, they had to go to Belmont or Vanderbilt. Uh-huh. And that's what they did. They went to Belmont.
Wow. And both girls went. So Jen came up first and was here for a year.
She first actually took a side road to University of Miami because we were down there. Oh, so okay. She did one semester down there. But then soon enough, they both decided, when Ashley actually decided that she was going to accept at Belmont, Jen switched here and started a semester before Ashley came, and then they were here.
And they lived together.
They lived together.
Yeah. So you were doing a lot of going back and forth?
Yes, absolutely. We did.
Now, did they ever perform together in college around town? Or
they did writers' rounds.
As the Locketts?
As the Locketts, yeah.
Really? So not that long ago.
And Listening Room. And yeah, they did. They did that.
I want to get to the story where, just because my oldest went to Belmont too, Cooper did. And so I know about the showcases and the importance of those. And what's interesting is, so Belmont has these different genre of music showcases for students, and it's a big deal to even get picked to perform in it. Yes. And it's almost always music majors.
It
but
is.
Even though Ashley loved music, that was not what she was choosing to major in. So
Correct.
She was in an entire different department, right?
She did. She did communications and marketing.
Okay.
Yeah. She actually, I think she originally started in the School of Music Business as a freshman and quickly realized that the business part of it, the communications and marketing especially, was more what she's interested in, because she could always do the music on the side. I think probably because she had done it since she was 11, she didn't feel that she should be going to college classes for music as much. She liked the real life experience of that. So if she wanted to write, she would go write, you know. And so she switched over into that area. But when Jen graduated and went on and moved away from Nashville, Ashley was a senior and just decided, well, maybe I should think about doing it as a solo. Up until that point, it was always the two of them.
Wow.
And she just saw the flyers for the showcase, for Country Music Showcase, and she thought, okay, let me just try it. And she did, and she got selected, and she couldn't believe it, because you're right, most of them were in the School of Music Business or music.
Songwriting or music.
Music. And so most people didn't know who she was. They wondered, who is this girl coming over and in the showcase? And so she got to participate, and then lo and behold, she won it.
She was the wild card, and she won the showcase.
She did. And I tell you, what really came out of that too was not only the confidence that she could do it by herself, but two of the judges, because it is here in Nashville, most of the judges are industry. And she still has relationships with a couple of them that saw her back then, and her WME agent, Carrie Murphy, is her agent now, and she's one of the original judges.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, it's really as much about exposure as anything else.
It is.
Which is unique in Nashville, because I think anytime you play somewhere, out somewhere, you know, there's so many stories of us playing at some little whatever it was, and I'd be like, you never know, we're in Nashville, who's
that's
in the
right.
audience?
That's
you know?
Right. The whole, I would always say that. Taylor Swift story at the Bluebird and all
so
of those.
It's so true. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So up until then, which I'm sure that had to just light a fire in her. Like, okay, I can do this.
It did.
Then up until then, do you think, as she was majoring in marketing communications, Jen had kind of gone on and done her thing, that she saw music maybe as just kind of a sidebar? Or do you think through college, she was definitely like, I'm going to have a number one song. Like, I'm
so freshman through junior college, that's when it was kind of they would play around town, but they really didn't, I don't think, believe that there'd be much of a future because
they didn't see it as a career necessarily.
They wanted it, but because of the snakes we ran into, they didn't believe that it actually they could get past that. And don't really want to go into that whole story, but many people unfortunately have to deal with it. And so they really thought it was going to, that was just going to take their joy and not allow
looking
them
back,
to do
what's your, without going into the story of what you dealt with, what's your advice? Because I'm sure that in your space, you have people who ask you, like, what do I do with? Because I think that's part, one of the hardest parts of it. And, you know, I say this a lot, but at the end of the day, we have kids with careers that people are interested in them. They may love who they are and all of that, but they're going to make money off of them.
Right.
And that's the thing, is all these people that are on their team or in their circle. And so that was one of the things that was most nerve-wracking for me when they're, you know, here's a publishing deal, you're 16, you're here's a record deal when you're 19, you know, like, oh my goodness, how in the world do we navigate this?
Exactly. As parents, it's really, especially if you're not familiar with the industry, you're not lawyers, you don't know what you're
and
signing.
And most
parents
aren't.
Exactly. No, we ran into it. And I guess the piece of advice I would have is just be there and attentive all the way through. So you do know what they're committing to. You do know what you're committing to as a parent too. And, you know, you try to vet people out as best as possible. Doesn't always work. And I think at the, in the end of the day, you want to work with people, but not need to work with people. And so you want to find those people that you know have your back and will have your back. And that if there would become a time when there's a conflict, that you could agree to disagree and part ways. But some people don't allow that. They hold on.
So she wins the Belmont Country Showcase, which which is a big deal. What did that feel like, the break for you?
It did. There were probably two big breaks. But that was the first one for her, for sure, in our mind. She stood out on that stage. And first off, she was having major nerves in the back, which was a surprise to her because growing up in this industry, they performed all the time. And that was a benefit that they didn't get stage fright. They didn't worry about
it. They've been doing it for so long.
They had been doing it for so long. But this was, she didn't realize how different it would feel standing backstage ready to go on when she didn't have her sister anymore. So
they had always performed together on the stage.
First time for her to walk out without her. And so she talked about that afterwards to us, that she was, you know, really nervous about it. As soon as she got on stage, everything just took over though. And that little girl that we saw in LA that loved to perform and sing just came right out. And I think all of that all those years of training, all those years of being on stage just took over. And so we were shocked to just see how confident she was on stage and how you know, well received it was by the audience and then the judges. And
what do you remember feeling when they announced her as the winner?
Oh my, kind of buckle up, here it goes. You know, all the things that we had hoped for so long, for both of them to get to do something like that and to be recognized for it. And then being told that there were industry judges there that wanted to meet with her afterwards, that were really excited about her. We thought, okay, here we go. And this was her senior year, 2019, and she graduated. And at that point, up until then, for a while, she thought she was going to get a job going out in communications and marketing, like her sister had gone and graduated and went on and did a business.
Like have a 9-to-5.
Have a 9-to-5. Exactly. But when she won the showcase, the reason why we feel like that was a pivotal moment is she actually thought, well, maybe I could make this a career after all. And she asked us if we would support her for 1 year to have a gap year to do that. Because she was going to have to start interviewing for corporate jobs at that point.
Yeah.
And that's when she said, can I just focus on music right now?
Were you hesitant at all? Or were you like, let's do it?
I think it goes back to our family philosophy of how we've always been about, if you have a goal, nothing's impossible, especially with God, all things are possible. If that's the path we're supposed to be on, we do it. And that's really what came about is, okay, this is what you want to do. Let's sit down and see how you're actually going to do it and how we can help you to do it. But then what does it mean? What do you have to have accomplished within a year to make it not a gap year anymore? At that point, when do we say enough is enough? You know, so having the parameters set, having all that.
It's like a business meeting.
It is.
You kind of sat down, had a family business meeting, and we'll support you, but.
But, exactly. And that was, in 2019, she was all excited. She started to get around town, have some of these meetings with the professionals in town.
Was she trying to get a publishing deal as a songwriter at some point through this?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. So she kept writing with the people that she had already made contact with. But she also loved getting out and doing writer's rounds. And so she continued to do that. She would go out and meet new people around town and try to get on different writer's rounds. And she started really getting some traction and having a good time with it. And then 2020 hit. So she had just really started to make some headway. And then all of a sudden, the only way you make it in Nashville is to be in Nashville. Yeah. And it's a small town. And so she came down to quarantine in
with
Florida.
You guys.
Yeah, both girls did. And everything shut down here in Nashville. And all of a sudden, she knew that the deadline for that 1 year gap line was coming up.
She needed to file for an extension.
She needed, yeah, exactly, yes. And we didn't know how long the quarantine was going to happen.
Right.
So she had to get creative on that.
And she did.
And
it paid off. Okay.
It did.
How familiar were you with TikTok at the time?
Oh, my goodness. At the time, we didn't have any TikTok accounts, Dennis and I, I don't even know if Jen had a TikTok account, but Ashley loved following the trends. And so she was watching the dances and things like that. Uh-huh. But, and so we started watching the dances and seeing, because that pretty much was what was going on TikTok. And the Hype House, I guess, Ashley was paying attention to the kids out in LA that were doing some content together. Uh-huh. But one of her friends that was in the music business trying to make it as well sent her a TikTok on a challenge for singing a high to low range. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, why not? And that was like one of, if not her first TikTok. And it started to get overnight all of these views. And she woke up and she goes, guys, at breakfast, I think I've got 20,000 views on this, one video and several likes. And we were just thinking, what is this? This is TikTok? What is going on? And we made it actually fun with celebrations for every, threshold. My husband's very analytical and very business, goal oriented. Exactly, all the stats. And so he's like, okay, well, if you can hit 50,000, we'll, play Clue for the night, because he didn't want to play the game during the quarantine and they all were bugging, let's play some games.
Yeah.
So he'd say, okay, yes, if you get to 50,000, I'll play Clue with you. Uh-huh. And then sure enough, she hit 50,000. So we had a Clue night, and then he challenged her with another threshold and it just kept happening. And then she's like, well, I got to make another one. So she kind of hauled up in the guest room and started putting up cover songs and just having fun with it. And each video just kept getting more and more attention.
Did somebody in the business reach out when they saw the TikTok phenomenon that was Ashley Cook?
That was Ashley Cook. Yes, actually. Ashley put up a cover song that Morgan Wallen had out, Chasing You. Mm-hmm. And there was a person in publishing up here, Rakiah Marshall, and she heard it and she loved it. And she reached out just out of the blue and said, I love what you did here. And when you get back to town, I'd love to meet with you. And so that was very exciting. And, and they did. They hit it off right away. And Rakiah said, I think you've got something here vocally. You're just your presence too. You're just captivating. Uh-huh. But I'd like to hear more of what you've written and being in publishing. So they went through her catalog and she was just really excited about her. And they started working together. They didn't sign anything. It was just kind of feeling it out. And Rakiah ended up wanting to manage her.
Oh.
And so that's how that all started.
Is she her manager today?
She is her manager today.
Oh, wow. And she really did find her on TikTok.
She did. She found her on TikTok, and it was a time of TikTok where that just happened. It really was just a magic moment in time, because since then, I know there's been a lot of people try to recreate it. And
right.
It's harder to do that. It just happened. It was a God thing. Ashley wrote probably, I think it was every song of her album. It was a 24-song album, and she wrote, I think, all but two.
Yeah.
And so Rakiah was instrumental in getting her in the right rooms. And, yeah.
And good for her label. I mean, the 24-song album thing is not every day that people will let you. But I know she felt like, she's like, I just can't sacrifice these songs,
Yes.
And Connor put his album out this year as well in January, and, only 12 of those babies went on there, and it's so hard,
It really is.
That's a tough one. So when she got to do 24, I was like, that's really awesome.
It was amazing.
I mean, to see her success from that TikTok video. I mean, it's amazing. I know. And I love the way that, you know, I don't think of Ashley as a TikTok artist. You know, right. There's definitely those out there that you put in that category, but that just happened to be how she got the exposure. But what I love about the story that you're able to share for her fans to get to know her better is the fact that she had been so hard at work for so long.
Yes.
And the way, you know, this journey, it wasn't like, oh, I can sing, I'm going to do a TikTok and get discovered.
Exactly.
There was a path and a journey before.
Oh, absolutely. Before they call this the 10-year town that you really have to put your dues in. And coming to town when she was 11, essentially. Sure, we lived in Florida back and forth, but she had already done a lot of networking, a lot of and you know, most adults don't want to work with kids if they don't have a work ethic.
So true.
So she had already established that reputation. She, and like we talked earlier, she gets along with guys a lot. She loves to just hang. She just is a tomboy at heart. And a lot of the guys are the writers and, you know, and in this country industry. And I think that just has been so easy for her to just be in the room and feel comfortable. And so, yeah, no, they, I think at first it was a little hard because she didn't want to be known as the TikTok artist.
Right, right.
And yet she started the 615 house on TikTok, which was basically a content house of some of the other artists that were trying to make it at that time. Uh-huh. So that was
that kind of was birthed out of COVID too, wasn't it? The initial like trying to do that. Yeah, I know.
Yes.
That
Tyga Lily was part of that.
Yeah. There's quite a few that were part of that. That actually, some that have actually had some traction.
Exactly.
You know, since then, and I know Cooper, my older son, has shot some content for them over the years. You know, when they had some things going on. So I was definitely familiar with. It's a crazy talented group of kids.
It was. It really was. And I'm glad that she was modeling that after the Hype House in LA. But she wanted to do it with country music kids that were trying to make it.
Okay.
And it did come out. She would talk to them.
So she kind of helped start that.
She did. She actually, it was her idea.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
She partnered with Chris Rudiger, who runs it today. He had this idea during COVID before they came back to town, and they both then started thinking, who do they know that might want to be a part of this?
Yeah.
And that's what started. Things were still kind of shut down and in quarantine mode when they got back to town, but they rented a house and they made it the 615 house.
Yeah.
And they did that.
So I know there's been so many just highlights and moments that, you and I could probably talk for hours about all of these things and just really relate to each other.
Absolutely.
In some really
special
ways.
Absolutely. I'd love to hear more of Connor's journey too. And you guys
tell me
that.
About the invitation to be, to step into the circle
Opry. At the Opry. Oh, that was just a thrill. I mean, it's another one of those just moments of you pinch yourself and you can't believe walking into the artist entrance in the back. You've gone through there too. And just that whole moment. And they treat you so well when you walk in back there. Yeah. They treat you like
the parking place.
Oh,
tag,
I know.
Where your name
is. Where your name is officially
I got
for
it
you.
Hanging upstairs.
She has hers too. I know, hanging as well. But, you know, obviously there are little nerves on that. But backstage, it was really special because you never know who you're going to see back there. And there's all kinds of stars that are playing. And you get two or three songs. So there's a lot of people, you know, that play in a night. And that night, Gary LaVox from Rascal Flatts happened to be there. And Ashley had been a major Rascal Flatts fan growing up because of Sister Harmony and the, you know, they had their harmonies.
Uh-huh.
So she just really loved it. And so they just hit it off. And he came out and he wanted to introduce her. He told the person that normally announces, yes, that, hey, can I announce this for Ashley? And so he did. And that was off.
That made it extra special.
That made it extra special. Yeah. So she came out. And
did you have a lot of family come in and everything?
It was small. We really kept it small. It was just us some of the friends. But we did. We kept it pretty small for that night. And then since then, she's been able to play some more times. And we brought my parents. And that was special. Uh-huh. And we've been able to bring my my husband's dad. And so every time she plays, we don't take it for granted. We just really enjoy each one.
Right. How much are you at like what you can be? Basically anything you can be.
Anything that comes to town. So like the Opry shows, the writers rounds, the pop-up shows that'll come. We go to pretty much anything we can in town. And then we kind of now at our point where we pick and choose cities that we know people or we have family or friends to so that we can combine it, a trip with seeing people that we know.
So maybe a few on every tour to where you're getting to see those. What you said her first big tour ask, which I think those are also super exciting moments in this, was Cole Swindell.
Yes, it was. He was he was the first one, and we couldn't believe it because we loved his music. And so Jen and I then we decided we were going to tour around and follow her on that tour for the first time.
So you just hopped in the car and followed whatever she was in?
We did. We went to Peoria, Illinois in a snowstorm. That was the first one. But, you know, it was funny because we didn't have any experience or exposure to any of that. And I remember being in Peoria, standing side stage, and I couldn't hear anything. The vocals, I could not hear it. And I didn't realize you had to have ear monitors because all of the speakers were faced out to the crowd. So if you're standing side stage, I don't know if you've experienced that too. You can't hear.
People think that's where like a mom would want to be to watch everything, but it's not the best experience.
No, so I end up.
Where do you like to be?
I end up going out and I like to be in the crowd because I love to hear their reaction. I'll hear people say, oh my gosh, she's really good. Who is this? You know, and I love hearing that.
I love that part too. I love to be in the pit.
Yes.
Although you have to know you're going to be surrounded by drunk people probably because they got there really early and they've been drinking a really long time.
You're short, like I'm short, and you can't see past most of these people. Yeah.
But it really is fun to watch close up people reaction. And I know you've shared that moment when people start singing along.
Yes.
And they know the songs.
Oh my gosh.
What on earth? Yeah.
Exactly. Because, you know, you hear them singing in their bedroom, their kid, and you never think that the songs that they create, then you're going to hear it back from other people.
Exactly. So you can go on Ashley's social media and see what I'm about to talk about. Okay. But where were you and your husband when you got called on stage? And did you have any warning?
No warning at all. I think she knew I wouldn't do it. We actually were at a show that Connor played at. It was
you were?
Yes, we were in Indianapolis with Luke Bryan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yeah. So Connor and Ashley both had the opportunity to open for Luke Bryan this past summer. And there were several different openers on different nights. But many of the nights it was Connor and Ashley together.
Yes, exactly.
Which was so fun. So I got to see them together in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
And a couple of other shows
that were
so fun. But yeah, I love it when they're on shows together.
I know. And I loved how Luke did that. He took, maybe it's his American Idol influence that he wants to give the next generation a chance.
Yeah,
but
that's a good idea.
He took I don't know how many there were, maybe
I
six.
I would say there were probably six or seven. Yeah.
So when we were in Indianapolis, my husband and I are from Indiana. We were born and raised all in Indiana.
We didn't miss that show.
We did not. So we had a lot of family and friends. That's probably the show that we've had the biggest number of people that
Your guest list was rather long.
Exactly.
On that,
that was it. And so we loved being there and we were backstage before she went out and we loved to see like the excitement and the team chant before they go out and everything. But we usually do slip away and go into the side pit or wherever to watch in the front. But that night she goes, well, hey, where are you going to be? And I said, well, we'll probably be on the, you know, right side stage or whatever.
Yeah.
And she said, well, why don't you just come up and be, you know, side stage up by me.
Oh, she was sneaky.
I know she did. And I didn't really think anything of it. I was like, okay, that sounds great. Uh-huh. So we were standing up there and watching her set. And it was really neat to see because I could see my cousins, you know, that were not sitting very far back. And they saw and waved at me. And it was really a fun moment. But then all of a sudden, her day-to-day manager, Emily, decided to get behind us and put her hand on our backs. And we were kind of like, what's going on? And she goes, okay, don't shoot the messenger, but Ashley wants me to push you guys out to go dance for the next song.
It wasn't an anniversary or anything like that,
no.
Right? Okay. Oh my goodness.
No, it was no special occasion. I had no idea. And I didn't shoot the messenger, but I was like, what are you talking about? And Ashley had put a circular rug out in the front of the mic and everything. She had planned this out. And for her song, Never Till Now, which is a love song, she wanted us to dance. So
that is the sweetest.
Yeah, it was. And she announced it as I'm a product of two high school sweethearts from Fort Wayne, Indiana. And I was just walking out kind of sheepishly and my husband took it and just loved it.
He
put his hands up and it was like, yeah, Indiana.
Oh, that's so fun. It's like a hometown show for y'all.
It was. But that's a special song. Her first one to go gold. And so And that was a special moment to the song.
Yeah. I love that song so much. And then it's been a year resonated with so many people. That's such a special one. And that one has a special story, doesn't it?
It does. You probably have heard her talk about it. Just a lot of serendipitous moments to that one. On the way to a right one day, she called me and I happened to be in Florida where my parents live. And I was taking care of my mom. I had just found out that my mom had breast cancer. Mm-hmm. For the third time. And I had taken care of her the first two times. But so I told Ashley that it's reoccurred. And she was on her way to the right. And she said, oh, man, you know, and just tucked it away and didn't know what that all meant. Mm-hmm. but went to the right. And when she got to the right, she just kind of shook it off, went in and sat down, and they were talking, the writer, the co-writers. And one of the guys said, "Hey, I got an idea called It's Been a Year." And I'm hearing like a love, you know, love story where it's been a year, but boy, man, it's been a year, and some of those kinds of twists. And all of a sudden, Ashley couldn't believe that, because when she looked at her phone, she realized it had been an exact year to the day that she had been in Sarasota to see her grandma last.
And oh, wow.
So the fact that there was the It's Been a Year to mm-hmm. the day of that, and mm-hmm. then also thinking of a grandma and that song. So she explained that then. She wasn't going to talk about it, but mm-hmm. it came out in the room. They wrote the song, and it became such a special song that they decided the label to release it. And she released it, and I was down in Florida with my grandma, with my mom, and we went to the doctor, and that was the day that my mom was announced to be in remission.
Oh, wow.
I get.
I'm sure.
So it was special. And it was the day that Ashley released that song. I mean, she had no idea. So special song.
Yeah, absolutely. Now another special win that is doing so well. Oh my wow. goodness. I'm just going to say, by the time this interview comes out, I mean, we may have our first number one at radio.
Oh my goodness.
We just hit top 10.
Yes,
yeah, top 10 alone is so awesome.
Oh my goodness.
We've been to 9 and we stalled.
Yes. You know, somebody just told Ashley the other day, I forget now who it was. It was somebody that she met along the way, one of the other country artists, mm-hmm. and I wish I could remember, said, "You're going to learn that the number 11 and number 2 are your enemies." You know,
I've heard that before. Yeah. Oh my God. I think 2 would honestly hurt more than 9.
Probably. Yes. No. Exactly. No. 9 is still wonderful.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. That whole top 10. Just watching it climb and doing that song is called Your Place. And,
yes.
It's so good. And I will tell you, I'm going to have to tell my husband when he listens to this episode. I'm going to give him a shout out, because when he heard it, he said, "I'm predicting Ashley's first number one with that song."
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Oh. Oh, shout out.
He's all into it. He loves the charts and watching all of that.
He and my husband would get along well with that.
Besides the love of a good pair of sweatpants.
Exactly. You know, I think it started way back when, about storytelling. And she loved to hear the stories. I taught through stories. For example, like I would read books to them. And instead of telling them to, for example, not be selfish, if there was a character in a book there was a little girl that always would say, "Mine, mine, mine." Uh-huh. And I would make it sound really bad when I was reading it, like, "Mine, mine, mine." So when one of them would become selfish, I would use that story to say, "You don't want to sound like that, do you?" And then they would learn. So I think the love of story and how to use that in everyday life and how we communicate to people. Mm-hmm. She does it through her storytelling with music, and mm-hmm. and I do it other ways, but that is how I raised them.
Yeah, the gift of storytelling is certainly something that would have helped her in her career, for
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Well, yes. She's delightful. I've really enjoyed the few times I've gotten to be around her. And I hope that she and Connor have more opportunities where you and I can
hang
out in the pit together, right?
Or go out to your RV that you drive all around.
Yeah, we'll just take you and Dennis and we'll hop in and hit the road. It'll be a good time.
Oh,
thank
absolutely.
You so much for this. I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. It's been a joy.
We are so thankful for each and every listener to the podcast. Be sure to support our sponsors who help us bring this content each week at no charge. Be sure to visit our website to join the insider list. You'll be the first to know about upcoming episodes and all things Got It From My Mama. Have a great week, everybody.